Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. All right, just jumping straight into it. I've been having a pretty good year. I'm at 21.67% up for the year on a 300K portfolio. My IRA is up 31% for the year. SPY right now is up 20.6%. And QQQ is up 21%. So both my IRA and my regular individual portfolio are doing better than SPY and QQQ, which again, I'm ahead of now. I've been like neck and neck against SPY and QQQ for probably this whole year. And I hope to keep the sort of gas pedal down so I can finish off the year strong. It's tricky, right? You see the stock market going up. You notice that, hey, this stock might seem overextended, or, oh man, there's so much tension overseas. There's this indicator that says this. There's this indicator that says that. Sometimes you just really need to hone in on a much more macro level thesis. And that might sound scary. Those are two very SAT sounding words, but I promise it's simpler than that. It's really about just leaning into some of your more primitive sort of ideologies. When you first started trading, I think as you learn to trade, you learn about all these different indicators, all these different signals, all these different strategies that kind of muddy up just what keeps trading simple. It's like, what do you think will go up, and buying that and then hoping that it goes up, right? We learn about that. We might lean too far into that direction when we first begin, and then you start learning about loss management, or you just learn about losing. And that kind of starts warping into, oh, what strategies can prevent me from losing this, and what can I do better next time? And you start learning about all these different things that, again, kind of take away from that just core central thesis that everyone usually starts out with is, hey, I like this stock. I heard about it. I think it'll go up. Let's go. We had a very short conversation. It didn't dwell on it too long, but this morning we had talked about SMCI. SMCI is a company that puts server chips together, with semiconductor chips from NVIDIA and maybe AMD and other companies. And then they build the server racks and they ship it to different businesses that might want them. They've recently been in the news for either fraud and or just like delaying of the annual report, which is incredibly bad, right? Like if a public company cannot report on its annual finances, you can see how a lot of trust just goes out the window. It just recently went up 15% yesterday, and today it went down 5%. It went up yesterday because the CEO or somebody said, oh, we have much more demand than ever. And today was just kind of more of a reality check where people are understanding like, hey, your 10K or your annual report is still not out. That's actually very suspect. And so the stock went down a little bit today as well. The conversation then went into about like, oh, you know, maybe it's a good time to buy puts, you know, and that can work. It absolutely can. Puts on SMCI are very expensive, but granted, if the 10K or the annual report does not come out for a longer period of time, you could see that start to crash. And also, it's earnings soon that could crash. What if, you know, the annual report is still not out? How are you going to trust the quarterly report that's more recent? So, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be bearish on SMCI, but there's not that many reasons to be bearish on AI. And to just give you the TLDR, because, you know, some of you got places to go, you guys got work to do. If you're bullish about an industry, I think you shouldn't take bearish bets in that industry at all. I think that is something that I've really leaned into, and it's really been working for me this year, is that when you have a general thesis of thinking like, okay, AI is going to stay, and I'll get into a lot of my thoughts about AI and where this sort of industry is going and where I think it's going and how it's been helping me. But if you believe that AI is here to stay, then you would continue to maybe play more of the blue chip, more of the like trustworthy stocks like AMD or Nvidia or whatever your favorite AI stock is. Maybe it's even some nuclear energy company. But going out of your way to buy puts on a company that's very luck-based, right? Like, what if the 10K filing comes out, but their reputation is tarnished and the stock still goes down? What if the report comes out and it's trustworthy and the stock goes up? There's just a lot of things that are out of your control. What if the report never comes out and the stock craters? That's great for your puts. But what if the report does inevitably come out and it's okay and the stock trades flat? There are many reasons for the stock to trade wildly. Not to say that Nvidia or AMD would not trade wildly, because we know that it has previously in the past, but it's just a much more predictable stock than choosing a company and buying puts on something that has a delayed annual filing. That's what trading is at the end of the day. You want to take the best bets possible. It's okay, again, to buy puts on a delayed 10K filing company. That is a fun trade. I would say, like, maybe if you were doing really well for this year and you wanted to do a play like that, hey, that all power to you. I think that's awesome. You want to explore and you want to, you know, do some like Andrew Left sort of style, like sort of timing, and you know, you want to feel cool, you want to have fun, that's cool. But when you want to take trading more seriously and you want to take trades to be more systematic, you need to have just a little bit more conviction and something just more replicable. Like, even the people that buy long calls and long puts all have some sort of system of getting in and getting out, the position sizing and everything with that. But when you start introducing like huge external factors like a delayed 10K or a delayed report, bad accounting, it is, you can't trust the numbers that you see. So how are you going to even make that bet, right? So just be careful for, if you ever feel like you're very bullish in a particular industry and you feel like you're buying puts, there's some contradicting happening, and you need to suss that out for yourself. Maybe it's still the right move to buy the puts, but it's worth just taking a pause and exploring. And to wrap up that point, and because I'm so bullish on AI, I will not buy puts on an AI company right now. That is my general thesis. I think AI has plenty of room to still keep going up. Demand, chips, technology, just everything that's happening within AI, I still think it can go up. These next few minutes, you know, this might even hit an hour. I don't know how long I'm going to be talking. This is a very biased perspective. This is a very tinfoil hat perspective. I've had a chance to already sort of rehearse this. I say rehearse, but I've already talked to my fiance about this yesterday and just like about all my thoughts about where the industry is going. And just I wanted to really share this with you guys because, again, it's not like I hit up my homies and I just like talk about this sort of stuff. This podcast is really just a place where I really feel like people that listen to this really want to listen. And there's some sort of trust that when you listen to this podcast, that I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to shill you on anything. These are just my genuine thoughts. So when I'm talking about all this bullish stuff or all this crazy stuff, just know that it's a real personal opinion. I don't go up to strangers or meet trading people and discuss this sort of stuff. This is for really the podcast community. I haven't done a write-up for the Discord or anything. This is really just for you guys. I've mentioned a little bit of this on the stream today, but that's also an extremely small community, much smaller than the podcast one. So yeah, just if you also disagree or anything, I'm not trying to change your mind, but I just love to share some of my thoughts. So maybe you could pick the parts that you love the most and incorporate that into some of your modes of thinking as well. So I hope you enjoy. Let's get into it. Okay. So, and this is all unscripted, by the way. I don't have a notepad or anything in front of me. This is just old Junie. Like, this was title, like, first 50 episodes, just off the top, just rambling into a mic, okay? AI has a lot of room to grow, okay? I am noticing more and more, because I am unemployed, and I can't help it, but I will look at, like, job postings, I'll look at LinkedIn, I'll just, like, look at what is happening in the software world, where, right? Like, in case if, like, data gain doesn't work out or something needs to change, you know, I need to save up more money and I'm not making enough money now, something. I just always want to be prepared, right? I have that duty to be a good partner to my fiance, soon to be husband. You know, like, I just want to, like, have my ducks in a row. So as I'm looking, I'm seeing so many AI positions, right? And you know, the first inclination that I have is like, oh, you know, this could be just hype, you know, like, yeah, so what? Everyone's just using an LLM, or everyone's just using ChatGPT to create a company, right? Like, you're just putting like a cute interface in front of ChatGPT and calling it a huge new product. How much value can that actually bring? That, like, that's how I suss out a lot of stuff. But when I'm looking, right, and when I'm looking through different job postings and different just software companies that are being made, and, you know, I'm looking at a lot of Y Combinator, these are not just reskins of ChatGPT. Like, so, like, there's one company, I don't remember the name, but one company got a lot of hate for just, like, being a fork from a repo. But there's plenty of other companies. I'm looking at Monterey AI. That's, like, the only one that I remember, because I remember just thinking, oh, it's called Monterey, and that's where my parents are from. These are crazy companies that are creating new databases, new schema models, new ways to query databases, all with AI. And this is real business application stuff. This is not crypto. I think a lot of people that are uneducated about this topic think AI is going to be like a quick hype, and it's going to die down, and then it's just like crypto. Like, everyone's super hype about crypto when it's up, and then it goes away. AI is the worst it will ever be. Let me bring up another point. So AI, right now, I saw, like, a video of someone that split a screen in half. On one half is a webcam. The other half is a picture of, like, a celebrity. The person on the webcam reached out to the other side of the video, and it looked like they inserted themselves in the photo of the celebrity, and they hugged the celebrity, and it looked like they were just, like, going from video into the photo, and they were going back and forth, and that was, like, real-time image process. It was crazy. It's crazy. Deepfakes are also crazy. All this new information and all this new tech, and that it's not regulated, right? Like, all the laws are being made right now, and the fact that you can make identities, you can make bot armies, you can do, dude, it, I'm just trying to name all the examples before I forget them. The last example for AI, before I go on with my points, you can create, for example, like, say you want to be a cooking blog, all right? There are plenty of cooking blogs. There are a lot of beauty blogs that just are really famous for posting suggestions or what is cool, okay, or what is good to make if you're a cook or something. So you can ask ChatGPT, and you could reskin this where you just ask ChatGPT, hey, once a day, create me an article in this style, make it friendly, add some jokes, insert pictures for these steps, and at the bottom, link these links. And then once a day, create me that, or, like, once a day, post that to my website here. And then you have a content generating bot that costs just dollars to make, that is an infinite money pool, okay? And that means, like, advertising revenue, visitors. But then you start to realize everyone is going to be able to do something like this, especially as the gap between coding and AI closes. Right now, it's, like, becoming more and more important that you're product oriented than you're actually good at coding. You know, it's very common for the, I think the typical engineer that's very egotistical that I see on Twitter. You know, there's a lot of those. X for any of those that are like newer or that are younger. There are a lot of engineers on there that say like, oh, ChatGPT actually gives you so bad code and it gives you this. And it's like, of course it's going to give you bad code. This is just the beginning. Like, it, even if it does give you some bad code, it's not even that bad. It's just up to you to have this good coding comprehension, right? I think coding comprehension is more important than the actual coding aspect, because you literally lose time if you're not using like GitHub Copilot, or if you're not using an LLM to help you code out specific solutions. You're at least losing if you're not getting suggestions on your solution from an LLM, right? Like, you're no longer waiting days on Stack Overflow. You're no longer, you're not on, what is that website that no one uses anymore? Chegg. You're not asking for questions or looking up answers on Chegg no more. You're just asking the LLM. All right, Junie, that sounds pretty good. You sound a little biased. You got any more examples? Yeah, I got one more. I had like cut because I thought I would make my point. Here's another one. There is a bot where you can upload your information and your CVs and your resume, and it will literally apply to thousands of jobs for you on LinkedIn. I mean, thousands. And it will write a custom CV for each one. So if your application goes to like a password manager, it'll say, hey, I've been dedicated and motivated about password management my whole life, and this is X, Y, and Z reasons. And then your bot sends it to like this banking app, or, you know, it says like, oh, I've been interested in finances my whole life. It sends it to the stock app. Oh, I've loved stocks my entire life. You know, it's doing this for thousands of companies, writing personalized CVs that you cannot tell it's written by an LLM, unless if these business pipelines, these recruiters are scanning for LLMs. And this is already happening. This bot already exists, right? And it's so soul crushing that we've came to this, right? Tech has moved so fast. It's still moving so fast. And I feel like, wow, I'm being like left in the dust. There are so many cool ideas that are just speedrunning to like the end of humanity. Like, we are creating AI to create better feeds, better timelines, keep you engaged in the app more, right? There's the topic of brain rotting, which I might go into this episode or might not, but we are speedrunning the tech space right now. Like, we are going at warp speed. Imagine being able to apply to thousands of companies with just uploading your resume and your CV, just giving an example of how you type and how you talk, and then you have a personalized application process for thousands of companies. That already exists, and you can imagine how that person has just annihilated their competition. I'm assuming that they can actually interview past the whiteboard process and get past the personal screening and all that stuff. But if you're not keeping up with the tech right now, you're being left behind. Okay, next point. And segueing from being left behind. Over the last 4 years, we have experienced a lot. Okay, we've experienced the COVID crash, the COVID rally, a glorious 2021 where it seemed like just everyone had money, and that includes 2020, you know, if you were early enough. And it just felt like, yeah, we just all had tons of money. 2022 came along, kind of put us in check a little bit. 2023 was also great. And the beginning of this year was also good. Okay. So, you know, in terms of financial markets, we have gone through a lot. This last like 2 years, maybe a year and a half, we've seen inflation really affect us, right? Inflation finally hit the news where it was like no longer transitory. It was like the topic. The McDonald's $3 hash brown, wow. You know, that woke me up. I ordered that $3 hash brown. I was like, okay, we got hash browns at home. I'm buying them from the grocery store. And dude, you could get for $5, like 16 hash browns. Insane. And it tastes exactly the same, maybe even better. Okay, like, let that be a little bit of copium. Let me just enjoy that for a little bit. Prices have gone up so much. And let me ask you, do you think food prices will go down. No, that makes zero sense. Why would a food company all of a sudden start charging less when they know that consumers will buy it at this price, right? Food is a necessity. All food being a necessity? Not really. But if the base level goes up, we're talking like milk and eggs, those go up by 10 cents. They're not going down by 10 cents. It doesn't work like that. As soon as prices are higher and it gets the vibe check from the community and people are willing to pay that price, because really, most people have to buy those things. They got families, they got kids, or you know, they just enjoy those very basic necessities like milk and eggs. The wealth gap is increasing. The amount that we pay for our goods have gone up so much within the last few years. And you would agree, fast food has gone up so much, and that's why we see the $5 meal deal being just like, oh, that's basically the price of whatever it was like 2-3 years ago, right? It's not like some fantastic deal. That's just the same price it was 3 years ago after McDonald's figured out, hey, people actually can't stop eating here because they have like a food addiction to this place. And we can just charge whatever we want. And people kept going, you know? So that wealth gap and why being left in the dust matters a lot. In tech, you could be left in the dust if you don't follow up with the trends, right? Like, I understand if you don't want to learn the newest JavaScript library or the newest build library. Like, I get that. But, like, if you are not learning at least a little bit about AI right now, you are going to be so left behind. It's crazy. In terms of finance, we all have that one friend that just keeps their savings in their checking account. And that is pretty bad, okay? Like, I would love to justify, like, even if that checking account had, like a pretty good interest rate at, like, 5%, the stock market since, like, 4 years ago has gone up a lot. You know, I'm actually just going to pull that up right now because I just want to know. Google.com, SPY stock. We're going to go 5 years, and I'm going to go all the way back down to 2020. So, from the bottom of COVID, meaning like if you had just like stayed in and not worried about it, and then even bought more just like on a regular dollar cost averaging schedule, dude, you'd be up 150%. You would more than double your money, right? Like a double and a half. Could you imagine not having that sort of gain on a large amount sum of money that's continuing to compound right now, right? Like that person that just had it in a checking account got annihilated. They missed out. They got like 25%, you know, maybe, you know, compound just a little bit more. We got 150.43% from that bottom. You just got left in the dust. Now, you're probably like, oh, but at least they got some money, right? It's better than nothing. But that's the entire point, is like you need to take some amount of risk. You need to have some amount of money in the market to be able to benefit from this. And this example is just more about the person that just has money in checkings. And that's fine. Like, especially, you know, I find that in my female audience, a lot of them just have money in checkings because they don't want to worry about stocks. They don't have to worry about money going down or picking the wrong stocks. It's usually a very like touchy subject. Like, they just don't want to talk about it, or they don't want to like invest in it. And that's cool. But you just got annihilated. Even if you were an avid saver, you could have literally doubled your money by doing nothing, theoretically nothing, if you just invest in a SPY, which most people that do invest, that's their typical strategy, right? This responsible investor that just doesn't want to time anything, they just buy SPY. That's like the de facto, standard. And of course, we all know my opinion about if you take trading into your own hands, you should be at least beating the market. That's a pretty good gauge. We should technically be beating the market by a considerable amount. Now, considerable is subjective. Like, maybe it's like beating it by 5% or 10%. But if you're taking it into your own hands and putting more risk on the table, you should be doing much better than SPY. I'm unfortunately just beating SPY by like 0.5% or 1%, and then beating QQQ by 0.5%. It's not that big of a deal. So I'm basically on par, and I should be a little bit more up, and I'm trying to fix that right now. But this next example is for the people that have never invested before. So, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, I assume a few things about you. You're at least somewhat financially literate, okay? Like, I know that we might have gotten got a few times. We might not have the best trading record, but you understand that you should be investing because it gives you good, better returns than inflation, or that it's better than a typical savings account, right? Like, on average, SPY is about double the current savings rate of like 4.5. SPY is like 10, average 10%. Maybe it's up now because SPY is just doing so awesome this year. But you get what I mean. You understand that putting money in the market is a good thing. Now, do your choices in the market, are they good? That's a whole nother story. But you understand that if you just put money in SPY, that's typically pretty good. There are a larger amount of people that don't even have IRAs, a retirement account, or invest in stocks at all. And this is, again, I'm talking about like, maybe partners or just people that are afraid of putting money in the stock market and just keeping their checkings, or they just don't know to do it. And they just tank the entire food hike, inflation, they just tank everything. So when I talk about a $3 hash brown, I feel it, and I feel like I'm financially stable, okay? Now, the family that doesn't know about this, right, that have never invested, they live, again, or not again, but now I'm bringing it up, the paycheck to paycheck, they feel the $3 hash brown, okay? The $3 hash brown is just an analogy for, or a metaphor, really just for inflation, but that's how I like to keep this like playful. And these are the people that are getting left in the dust in terms of finance, right? I talk about engineers being left in the dust in terms of AI, and now I'm talking about the common person that's being left in the dust just, you know, financially, right? And it's this food hike where the hash brown went from like 99 cents to $3. That's a triple in price. And these people are living paycheck to paycheck, and they don't know any better. They might not know that you need to have savings to be able to compound, to be able to beat interest, to eventually make it out of this like this rat race. I mean, everyone's really still in it, but you get what I mean. You need to have some surplus of money to be able to invest in, to have grow, outpace inflation, and have your money grow for you for a later time. Some families, some people don't have that luxury, but some people do. Right? Most of America lives paycheck to paycheck. Is that not insane to you? Is that not insane to you? There's a good actual percentage that some of you don't have a five-figure like account, and that you actually just live paycheck to paycheck, paying rent and doing all that stuff that involves that. If you feel like you have been responsible living paycheck to paycheck, and you're like, Junie, hey man, like I'm trying my best, dude, I'm barely making ends meet, then I'm not necessarily talking about you. But if you have a very nice job and you're still living paycheck to paycheck, I hope you're enjoying all the things that you're buying right now, because you are being left in the dust. Your salary has not increased by 30%. If it has, congrats. You're probably a port strike worker, or you really have a really good position at your job and everyone likes you and you deserve that promotion, and good job for you there. There's a much greater chance, okay, that you have not received a 30% raise, or you know, a double raise. You know, I'm talking about the hash brown. Did your money triple? Did your money even double in the time that the hash brown went from 99 cents to $3? Did your money grow that amount? Your buying power is shrinking, and you're choosing to, again, either stay paycheck to paycheck or not invest, okay? If you do invest, you don't live paycheck to paycheck. This part of the episode, not really for you. Like, good job. Like, you know, I had a good mom, or, you know, also a good stepdad, but, you know, I attribute a lot of my financial habits from my mom. Love her to death. Still around, by the way. I don't want to make it sound like she passed away. She's not allowed to do that yet. And so, yeah, very thankful that my mom taught me these ways. And, what's funny is that my mom doesn't like investing, but my stepdad handles all that. So I learned some of those habits from my stepdad early on, or just learning about how, like, you know, keeping money in an account isn't necessarily bad. But my mom has always taught me, hey, save money. You never know when you're going to need it. Like, stay safe, and maybe a little bit overly protective. But you got to thank whoever has influenced your life to be able to make these good habits, right? Like, again, this part of the podcast, not necessarily for the people that have already saved or that are already investing, that are already beating SPY and QQQ. This message was, this part of the podcast, not meant for you, but for the people that are listening. If you are living paycheck to paycheck, and you know that's a different definition for a lot of people, right? Do you make, like, paycheck to paycheck could mean like, oh, am I just like saving $50 a month and it's like slowly going up? Or, you know, paycheck to paycheck literally means like I'm literally living off of my paycheck. It's subjective, okay? But I'll tell you this. Look up, you know, after you listen to this podcast or while you are listening right now, what the median net worth is for your age bracket. And just see where you are on that list. And if you notice that, hey, you're living paycheck to paycheck and you have a six-figure job and you don't have that amount saved up, that's a pretty good sign that you need to do something about that right now. Because it's never too late to invest. It's never too late to learn to trade. But staying out, staying idle, not doing anything is really bad. And I understand a lot of people here that are listening to this podcast, you probably invest because there's like no way you're listening to this long of a podcast of a random dude talking to a microphone, talking about investing, and you don't invest. But just in case, this is meant for the people that need to just like wake up just a little bit. Even if you use your paycheck to like lose, and here's how I'll tie it back to just the general user base or listener base right now. Say you do live paycheck to paycheck and you do invest into the market, but you actually notice that you don't perform well. Let this be just a wake-up call, right? Maybe it's time to actually start becoming a little bit more responsible, look up a different style of trading. You know, for me, theta gain style trades helped a lot. It helped me ground my fundamentals in like getting assigned, owning up to what I'm going to do, sticking to the plan. It taught me a lot of good habits, which, again, worked for me, might not work for you, but it's worth exploring. There are other different strategies that you could like poke and prod from different people, copy and paste from different people, choose the favorite parts. But if you're kind of just like winging it right now and you're not doing well, again, this hash brown is only going to get more expensive, okay? So you need to keep your buying power competitive with how fast this hash brown is going up. I swear, it's like there's the Big Mac index. I want to create the hash brown index, bro. Like, oh my God. So there it is. The wealth gap is increasing. It has increased a lot. People have gotten left in the dust by a huge margin. And I think it's more important than ever to invest. I know I could be potentially preaching to the choir here because, again, a lot of you listening are investors or traders. But this is just how I'm thinking about the solution. Like, being left in the dust is kind of like how I'm thinking about everything right now. It's like, I don't want to fall behind SPY and QQQ. I don't want to be left in the dust there. So I'm trying to at least beat it, and I'm trying to go beyond it because, again, I'm taking trading into my own hands. Being left in the dust in terms of AI, I think AI still has a bunch of room to grow, despite it being like media hype potentially. I personally think it can keep going because I see it affecting me personally. Again, that job applying bot, just the thought of like creating all these apps of like contributing to the dead internet theory where just you're just asking ChatGPT to write blog posts and upload them for you every day. And, you know, by the maybe end of X year that most of the internet's just ChatGPT related content, you know, I'm just seeing a lot of really new bursts of productivity. And is it a net good? I don't know, right? Like, the morality of all this is very gray. Like, I see the benefits to it. I'd rather have everyone just be happy, but it's hard finding that happy medium that suits those two scenarios of like AI continue to push productivity. But if it makes humans feel more sad or frustrated, then that's not what I typically want. But that's what I do see happening, is that there is this burst of productivity. Like, you can now create YouTube videos with like just like a clip of your face, and then you could just put Shutterstock footage in the background and do a voiceover. You can clone your voice, and you could do voiceovers with just typing. And then imagine, dude, you don't even have to type your own script. You could ask ChatGPT to feed the voice changer or the voice creator to feed that into the video creator, and the video creator feeds that into YouTube. Again, we are in such a different world now in the last like year that I still feel like it's early. Okay. Now you're probably thinking like, okay, Junie, you got some good points. I'm gonna go all in on NVIDIA. Dude, that is not what I'm saying. Okay. I think it's trading stocks like that is incredibly dangerous and you have to know what you're doing. Or else you're going to lose a whole bunch of money and you're going to fall behind the $3 hash brown, okay? And you're going to be a sad person and I'm going to be a sad person because you're a sad person and we're both going to be sad. I don't want us to be sad, okay? I want us to be happy and content and I want us to just do well. I don't want us to become omega rich, right? I'm not trying to be greedy here. I'm just trying to like use my expertise that I've learned and this point of view that I have to just maximize just like, you know, my contentfulness that I'm not like falling behind. I'm doing all right. I could keep doing this, you know, full time. Theta Game full time is pretty cool and this is nice, cushiony. I don't have to worry about my account necessarily going down too much. I would just love for that to continue. I'm not asking from the world that like I'm gonna become a millionaire from stocks. I'm just trying to be as like authentic as possible to tell you guys my opinions and thoughts and just have a good time. So don't go all in on AI. Don't, if anything, you should create that bot that creates recipes and posts on a website like that. I think that'd be a great learning project. If you want to learn AI is like create a perpetual AI system that can actually generate ad revenue. Like that sounds amazing as a side project. I don't know as a business, because again, like I think everyone is doing this, but I think it would be a great project. Or if you wanted to create like a way to sort of automate just uploading junk to YouTube with the AI pipeline, again, voice creator from a ChatGPT generated script all fed into an AI uploader for YouTube that puts in images and thumbnails that are like, I don't know, opportune or that are most exciting, like whatever. That all of that is happening right now. And it's going to be interesting to see where everything goes. You know, I've had this opinion a lot on the podcast before. And I think what's going to become really popular is like real life content. Now I am talking about IRL streams. IRL streams are really popular and some of them are honestly kind of bad, kind of dumb, where they like purposely be annoying to people. Like I hate that type of content. I don't watch it. I don't support it. That type of content is getting popular because you know that that's not AI generated. It's not like a script that, you know, you could just come up on the fly for AI. It's real. And something that is already a thing is like girls watch other girls talk about their day, right? Like girls watch beauty vloggers vlog about just like how they woke up, how they're feeling, how their relationship is going. They talk about their feelings. Like that type of content will be popular. AI, I don't think can replicate that, but we'll see, you know, right? Like here's me having hope for the world, right? Like, so if you thought that I was like all in on AI, I'm pretty bullish on it, but I still think the human element can stay alive. I don't know. That's just me being optimistic. And I hope that we can preserve that. But I think that type of content for girls, it's already pretty well established. I think a lot of girls watch the same girls, similar how guys watch the same, maybe like Twitch streamers, you know, but that type of content will be more and more popular, right? Stuff that AI can't generate and just put onto YouTube. Rather, it's a real person that you look up to and you respect, that's just in front of the webcam for you. There's that world, there's that inevitability that, you know, VTubing or like having an avatar in place of your face and a AI voice changer or AI voice creator can be a thing. I'm sure that someone's made that already, but everything is in the proving out phase right now. And while companies are proving things out, just demand for chips should be there, right? Like everyone wants to create the general intelligence model or whatever that human intelligence thing is, where it can think for itself. Everyone wants that, right? Like all these companies are racing for it. Whoever reaches there first is going to make a lot of money. And of course, if you have billions of dollars to spend, you're going to spend the billions of dollars to build whatever infrastructure you need to actually create that thing. But a lot of smaller companies, again, from Y Combinator, there's so much AI. We're talking like this is new, and this is still a subject that's just rapidly growing, right? If you don't care about AI, and I promise I'm going to shut up real soon. If you don't care about AI and you've just been kind of off to the side, not caring about it, I get it, right? Like, I'm unemployed. I get to look at whatever I want, when I want, all day if I wanted, right? Like, I can spend like hours just like poking and probing into like different aspects of AI. Like, oh, how's the job industry? You know, oh, what's the Y Combinator class, you know, funded by now? Or, you know, how's A1C, Mark Horowitz, how's his funding companies now? It's different when you have the time to actually look at this stuff. And I'm just relaying my thoughts and opinions of what I've been looking at. Of course, right? I could just be being fed of what I like to click on. And, you know, the algorithms know what engages me. And maybe it's just feeding me lots of AI related content, lots of inflation related content. But these are just some of the things that really helped me hone in on my thesis for trading, especially like this last week. So I think investing is more important now than ever. So I've made a good amount of money from Robinhood so far, still in Robinhood. And I've been really leaning into Nvidia, right? Like, I think 120 was really heavily contested. I think it still has room to be contested again. So if you're going to go into Nvidia now, just know that it's possible it could go down to 120 and below. Like, there's no real reason for it to not go down there again. There's a lot of hype around AI. AMD has their AI event very soon. It's exciting. Like, I feel like a rush every time I'm like learning more and more about AI. A lot of this, by the way, is on Twitter. I guess that's my like final thought. I get a lot of rush learning new stuff every day. Again, this is because I have the time to do it, right? Like, if you want, you can squeeze out time a day to learn something new. But I understand how hard that is when your mind is just focused on work and you want to just get your work done and then go do whatever you want that's not related to software. Totally get that. But I'm a little different. I just don't have a job. So when I'm on Twitter and X, I have done a lot of tailoring to my timeline. I'll like purposely click on the hamburger icon and then say I'm not interested in content like this. And then I'll purposely like the content that I really do like. Like, I'm really, really trying to have the algorithm spit me out good things. And it's worked. My timeline is filled with a lot of really cool stuff. I always learn something cool with CSS or, you know, all these different UX design patterns and these new AI directions that, you know, LLMs are going in. Like, it's really cool. And it's really been keeping me up to date. Fireship is awesome on YouTube. That's like a 1 minute clip of like just where the newest tech with a very playful tone. Just learning. I'm learning a lot about AI, learning a bit about cybersecurity, learning about, trading. I have learned so much this year. I want to give a special shout out to a few people. Major is a huge inspiration from me, for me. English is hard. He's a huge inspiration for me because he's always constantly learning. I was pretty hard-headed in my ways of trading before, and he was just always constantly learning, always adjusting his strategy, always like switching it up and trying new things, and then he's finding some good grounding in his most current waves of trade. So that's really good for him, and it's just really good for the community, showing that like, hey, you're never you know, too experienced to learn something new. And so I really soaked that in. He inspired me to read a book, which no one has ever inspired me to read a book ever in the history of my education. So congrats to him on that. And I learned so much from that book, and it affected me in so many great ways. I want to give another shout out to Banadushi. Banadushi came on the Discord and Patreon pretty late, one of the later members, but was one of the very first users of ThetaGang.com. Okay, like we're talking, I think 2019 or very early 2020. I don't remember, but he was super early, and he is just one of the. He is just one of the most heavily conviction. He has so much conviction in his trades, and his quantity of trades is so high. It's like it's very admirable. It's very scary, also to look from a distance. But he knows what he's doing, and it's just been a huge inspiration to me as of recent. Just upping my position sizing and getting more familiar with just increasing my. Increasing my position sizing, right? Like I feel like trading one contract, two contract at a time was my old previous style, especially with buy rights. You know, again, just going back to a major and teaching me a few things. Yeah, buy rights aren't that good, especially if you have a bullish thesis, which I've alluded to as well. But I think it's bad to assume that the market has a chance to go down, especially when the market is only going up. So I think maybe it's just more of a flipping of the market trend. Not quite sure. Maybe I revisit the buy right thing. But yeah, just always being explorative in just different ways of trading. So majors just always learning about new things. Banadushi has like huge quantity sizes. And then last one, but not only these three people. Like I'm talking like there are so many newer people with much smaller accounts. That are always teaching me new things, especially asking questions, letting me have a chance to learn by answering. But last shout out is to Meh. He is a very different trader than all of us. He actually does not sell that many contracts, and rather he's on the buy side. And while I was reading Best Loser Wins, it was just like I was watching some sort of masterclass in how, you know, risk adjusted, like buying long calls out the money, not that bad, especially if you are really good at preserving losses, which, you know, not too sure just like in the entire history of his trades how well he's done. I'm sure he's done amazing for himself, but he hit some crazy plays this year, and I just thought to myself, dude, I can do this a little bit more responsibly and tailor it to my own strategy. And so I did. I started buying some like out the money calls, some out the money puts, and it just ignited a fire in me. I was like, wow, you can actually do this responsibly. And so these are just like three of just like some of the most impactful people for my trading this year. And again, all the trades I see in the Our Trades channel or the Junies, those are my own trades, but the trades that I see in the Discord, you guys know what I mean, heavily influenced me. There was Danghai talked about his yearly performance and just like what are his favorite lessons. We got T-Wall, smaller account, Nala, smaller account that just ask great questions, give insights or trade new strategies for smaller accounts. That I'm currently trying to always compare to my small account on my 5K on Robinhood, and it's an amazing time. I'm very thankful for my community that have stayed with me. Thankful for everyone that has supported it in the past. But yeah, just again, these are just some of my thoughts that I've been having as a recent. I'm improving every day as a trader, always just trying to just trying to be constant, try to keep up. You know, the information that I'm ingesting right now, because I don't have like grunt work to do, right? Like everything that I do right now makes an impact. And I'm just like learning about all these different avenues that I could spend my time on. And I'd say that's probably my main criticism right now of just like how I'm attributing my focus, right? Like I feel like I could work on something AI related for ThetaGang, but you know, maybe ThetaGang should just be like the best logging platform ever. I'm about to create this new version of V5 right now. Like, what should the tracker look like? Should the tracker just be a different product? You know, all that while like, oh man, should I really spend time into just like learning about AI? Maybe I do that like at night and I spend ThetaGang during the day. You know, maybe I go do jiu-jitsu a little bit less. Maybe I just prep for competition. Or, you know, there's so many things that you could benefit from 9 to 5, like structure. You get a lot of structure at 9 to 5. Those meetings that you're in, that's structure. It sucks. Some of them really suck, but it is structure. When you have structure and you are getting paid, it's pretty good if what you do outside of work satisfies you, if it fulfills you. What you do your day-to-day at work filling in those meetings, talking that corporate speak, it's not all bad. And that's coming from someone that's unemployed, that has all the room in the world to be like, oh, you should quit your job. Oh, you know, the corporate speak sucks. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. No, I think having a job right now is awesome. I think if you're able to put in money right now in the market, I think I'm thinking to myself, why are you even taking risk off? To me, it's like, wow, this is a great opportunity for anyone that wants to decide to make money, which is why this podcast is essentially made, right? Like, I feel like right now, if I were to get a job, I would just be slamming all that money into the stock market. But there are people that just, again, don't put any money into the market and have a job. And I'm just like, wow. You know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck and this hash brown just keeps going up, you're thinking that you're able to afford your lifestyle, but there's going to come to a point where you just got outraced. Your salary did not keep up. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. I think a lot of you listen do already know all these things, but this is just a reminder, right? Like, I'm not trying to change anyone's mind either. If you feel some type of way, but the people that listen to this podcast, my patrons, and you know, the Twitch watchers, you guys are all really special to me because, again, this community is not huge. I don't have millions of followers. I do this really just like because I want to, right? There's not an episode that I do where I'm like grudgingly doing it. I want to do this because I love talking to the microphone. I love being able to vent a little bit. You can see that, you know, there's some anxiousness when I'm talking about these things because, you know, being left in the dust sounds pretty negative, right? Like, oh, I'm saying that you're getting left in the dust, so I'm being left in the dust. Maybe it's projection. Maybe it's a little bit of like venting and all this stuff. It's happening. I'm aware of it, maybe hyper aware. And these are, again, just some of my thoughts. Thank you for listening. I'm gonna go into the outro. I'll talk a little bit in the 1% section, but yeah, this was the good stuff. Later, guys. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TazyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TazyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. And a shout out to all the patrons that make this possible. The podcast would probably come out still on a weekly basis, but really just another shout out because, you know, maybe I'm not as motivated because I feel like having people monetarily support you is like honestly one of the most kind ways you can actually support someone. Because, you know, I know that you could have spent this money to, I don't know, buy a few hash browns from McDonald's, or you can spend it literally anywhere else, but you choose to support me. And if it means a lot, you know, we all have these, have our friends that, you know, if we do decide to do something on our own, they don't necessarily support you, but some other internet strangers that become friends will. And so, yeah, this just means the world to me, right? Like I feel like a good collection of friends, but you know, most of them, don't actually support ThetaGain. In terms of like, you know, Patreon, of course, when we meet up and we say hi, they might ask about how it's going and stuff, but monetarily, no. So again, thank you to ZKMSZ, Young Rich, Y-Teen, Vegeta Plank, Upstream Puddle, Tyler LM97, T-Wall3252, Turbo Ricky, Travella, Theta Collector, Jester, Tickle Me Elmo, Sumatrix, Suede Slides, Strategy 28, Stephanie Tense, DCast, Statistically Random, Slow Motion, Rustier, RS Smitty, Roostered, NSS88, Nala, MX7, Mr. Integrity, Mods, Meh, McFly, Maltman 1856, Major, Maestro XC, Luca Bedour, LPL, Los Pepes, Lord Skeletor, Loido, KJ Martin, Kaput, J Perkins 86, Joe Court, Jimmy Gill, Husky, Gruffalo, Grand Pound 95, Florida Man, Fancy Wolf, Espresso Bean, EDC Desserts, New 9000, Dang High, Coop, Clutch, Chicken Dinner, Can't Make Money, RRL, Bus and Justin, Bins, Big Dillo, Bearded Savage, Banadushi, Botch of the Thug, Avrillian, Asha Kabat, Arfman, NEV, Alexander Kerm, and AJ Tar Heel. Yeah, today's episode has got to be the most important episode that I think anyone needs to listen to that wants to know how I'm trading, right? Like, this is my most current mindset. This is probably the most accurate portrayal of my emotions that I could possibly give. Like, there's some paranoia in there. There's some anxiousness in there. There's some hopefulness in there, right? Like, maybe like human, emotions can't be replicated by AI and all that stuff. But productivity from AI being there, you know, falling behind. There's just a lot of different aspects to, you know, how I'm thinking. This isn't like a doom and gloom sort of podcast. It's sort of like even motivating at times where I'm telling you like, hey, if you haven't started yet, it's never too late. You might want to start now. Don't get left in the dust. It's going to be okay. But just putting a little bit of urgency in there, giving the example of like the McDonald's hash brown. Damn, dude. Like that is the analogy for me. It's just like, yeah, your IRA is up 20%. Your IRA is up 30%. But what does that mean when the dollar hash brown became $3? Our IRAs didn't triple. Like, what happened? So yeah, it's finding these little tiny ways to think about the market that fits your thesis, right? Because that's what makes us human, is like we're able to and for the better, right? Like when you're stranded on an island, there are people that see lots of hope that there will be a flying plane that comes by that sees you, and there are people that will just shrivel up and just like pass away, right? But it's about that, honing in on that, like looking at different scenarios in different ways and finding the one that gives you that glimmer of hope. It could be bad sometimes, right? If you're losing on a red position and you find that glimmer of hope, and you hold on too long, you change up all your system and you hold too long and you take a big loss, that's pretty bad. But if you feel like the market's being very toppy, but you feel like, again, AI is still growing and all this stuff, you could also be correct and the market could continue going up and your account could still go up. At the end of the day, no one's going to make fun of you for being wrong. And if they do, that's not the community that you want to trade in, right? Like, you gotta have to find a trading community that works for you. And I'm proud to run one, right? Like, I think if you go to patreon.com/thetagang, it's like the best community, the best trading community. I could stand by that. I used to say we're not that cool. It's not that cool because I wouldn't want to sound like a shill. But you know, after learning all this from fellow friends and traders and patrons in the Discord, hands down, It's not even close. And we're the most transparent too. You see all the wins and all the losses. And so I'm very, very proud of our performance this year. We've done really, really good. The small guys, the big guys, just really, really good. But ending the episode, you know, I hope you are doing well yourself. I hope you are keeping up with QQQ and SPY. I hope you're beating it, to be honest. I wish, you know, everyone in the world made money. Of course, there's problems with that, like inflation, but you guys know what I mean. From the unemployed friend that I am to you, life has been pretty good. I see some of the job market coming back, lots of positions being opened, but they're definitely for more like AI related stuff. I mean, just simply because any mid-level junior engineer that's cheaper to hire, especially a new one that doesn't have a tenured salary, can just ask ChatGPT to create good enough code and implement it, you know? And maybe all you need is like a really experienced manager and you save costs that way to help train up or mentor the younger folk. If you've been affected by the layoffs, I'm very hopeful for you. I think if you're good at what you do and you're truly driven and you're a good person, you will find a job. You will absolutely find a job. Right now, it's more important than ever to have the soft skills. And that's why I say if you're a nice person, that wasn't some like hoopla energy type of comment. I'm talking like if you're a nice person and people are able to pick that up from you and you're agreeable and you can communicate your ideas effectively in an interview, you could get a job. If you need help with that sort of stuff, that is very trainable. There's tons of videos and content online that you can view to help with that. But you know, hanging out with friends, going outside just helps bring that authenticity. You know, getting in of just like conversations that you wouldn't find yourself normally in, like you're only gonna get better at conversating at those conversations. So you know, if you're a more timid person and you feel like you're more of a quiet person, I get it. You know, I'm pretty quiet when it comes to like, if I'm not comfortable with you, I typically don't talk, but I've been, you know, actively trying to spark conversation with newer people like that come into jiu-jitsu or, you know, anyone that I have to train with, that I don't normally train with, all that sort of stuff. You know, just like these micro learning moments, you know, never stop learning, do it the major way. Yeah, that's it. So I will see everyone next week. Hopefully the next week's episode is shorter. But shout out to everyone that's listening. Appreciate you all and hope you have a good rest of your week. Bye-bye.